problem with our youth departments is not in here. Can you shout amen? You're going to help me this morning, aren't you? It's not in here is where our problem is. But our problem is when it's all over. Amen. Youth group, we can praise the Lord. Amen. We can worship. We can sing. We can rejoice. Now, I want you to listen, Pastor, just a minute. Amen. We put on our best clothes, our best behavior, our best smile when we come to the house of God. When we come to conference. Amen. But the real us that's struggling with things, we leave behind. When church ought to be a place where we can be the real us. And if anybody could cry, it ought to be able to cry. It ought to be in this house this morning. If any of you can deal with the real issues in your life, it ought to be in here. Come on, somebody. I woke up last Saturday morning, 8:30. Amen. And the kids were still asleep. And me and my wife was laying there talking. And the Lord got to dealing with me. And as I woke up and I began to think, do you know in our motels, most of us stayed in motels last night. You got up this morning to take a shower. You grabbed that bathroom rag. Amen. And you took a shower with it and bathed with it. Then you took a towel and dried off with it. You not one time questioned where that rag had been. Can you shout amen? You not one time questioned where that towel had been. Said to my wife last Saturday morning, I said, we're going to get a bath. We grab a rag off of that shelf. Amen. Not even thinking twice that it was the same rag that you used yesterday to clean up the baby or something that effect. She said, what are you trying to get at? Amen. I said, you never think twice. You don't know why? It's been washed. It's been purified by the hot water. Not one time do you think where it's been. But if you knew where that rag had been, you'd overlook that rag and go to the next rag. And the reason why we can't be real, come on somebody, is because we know, come on, if somebody knew where I was and knew what I was struggling with, they'd overlook me from now on out. But the Bible says, such were some of you, but ye been washed. Ye've been sanctified. You've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. But we can't. We keep everything inside. Just recently, I've been going through something in my own church. Amen. And there was something that happened. Amen. That caused us to have to deal with a certain issue. Amen. That you wouldn't want to deal with. But it's brought me to this fact. We live in a real world. And we try to get people to come to church. Come on, somebody. Amen. And act like everything's all right when it ain't all right. And so today I don't want to preach to this. I want to dismiss this service. Come on, somebody. And I want them to go home. Are you listening to me? Go back to you. Amen. But I'm going to show you just a moment. Go ahead, Heath and John. Amen. I want to show you something I want to preach to today. Amen. As Heath goes home. Amen. The youth group goes to their houses. Pastor goes to his house. Youth department goes to their house. Come on, somebody. Then all of a sudden, Heath comes into his bedroom. Come on, somebody. Amen. As Heath walks in, amen, to his bedroom, amen, comes into his own house, amen, comes to where he is, amen, to where this is where, amen, the real you is. Amen. This is the one that I want to talk to this morning. Not the one that you try to be. But the one that goes home and climbs under your cover, amen, that shuts your door, amen, and begins to go to sleep. The one that you wrestle with. Brother Scott got real plain last night, he thought, amen, but he didn't get, we really don't get plain enough. He said, and after mom and daddy goes to bed, you get back up, amen, and you get on the computer. Come on, somebody. Amen. Or whatever that is you do. Now, here's one thing, but this is another thing. Now, stay with me. I'm going to get to my message in just a second. But then all of a sudden in your young life, begin to hear something knocking on your heart's door. You begin to hear something knock, so Heath gets up. The youth department ain't here. The youth director ain't here. Amen. It's just him. So he opens that door to see what it is knocking. And he talks for just a few minutes as this thing begins to whisper to his mind, whisper to his heart. He shuts the door and says, no. And he runs back to his bed. Come on, somebody. Back to youth group he goes. But then here he comes again. A few days later, it begins to knock again. Amen. And he gets back up out of the bed, says, oh no, there it is again. And he begins to go down and open up his heart's door and begins to listen to that that's speaking to him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost going to help us this morning. This time he stays a little longer in the conversation, but then he shuts that door. Amen. Now, then he walks back up and goes back to bed. Now this thing begins to bother his mind. Come on, somebody. But he gets up again. Here's that thing knocking again. Whatever it is that's fighting your life, this is where we're at. He goes back. He's fearful at first. He's scared at first. But he goes down and he opens up that door, this time wide open. He begins to conversate with it. Then all of a sudden, amen, he comes to lay back down. But what he don't understand is he's opened a door. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? And there's some of you that no matter where it was your innocence, come on somebody, don't get too quiet on me, that was offended, or your innocence that was, amen, messed with, somewhere you opened the door in your young life. And what you are struggling with in your teenage years is the door that you open, lay down here. And while you're sleeping, it begins to bother your mind. It begins to pull on you. It begins to tug on you. Sit right there. And as you sleep, it whispers in your ear. Am I preaching this morning? It whispers in your ear. Amen. Amen. Then all of a sudden you get up and you realize, no, I don't want this. And you run it out of your life. Come on, somebody. You get it up, throw it out. Amen. You throw it out of your life. But what you don't understand, come on, somebody, come lay back down here, is that you've opened that door. And when you come to conference, you run it out of your life. When you get in a good revival, you run it out of your life. But when you get back home, you still got that door open. You got to shut that door. I just had one of my mean young men backslide, been with me 7 years, shout the victory, feel the power of God, but he never shut the door on his childhood. And the deeper this thing gets, it comes in, and it no longer sits on the chair. The next thing you know, you begin to come. Come on, somebody, don't you get quiet with me. You go into a deeper relationship with it. Come on, somebody. And you get more intimate with it. Come on, somebody. And you begin to entertain that thing. And you begin to romance after. Come on. It's no longer a struggle you have. It's now something you've accepted. Not only into your bedroom of your heart, but into the bed of your life. Hallelujah. You be dismissed. John, please stay with me. Amen. I want to preach this morning, the Lord to help me. I'll get back to this toward the end. Now, Heath has awesome potential. He's in the youth department, raised in the house of God, been around godly pastor, godly youth director, godly youth conferences, and God moves, and the power of God works in his life. And there's potential there. And that's what causes the pastor to take him to youth conference. And that's what causes us to preach. It's the power of potential. It's what you can be, but you're not there yet. So I'm preaching this morning to young people, amen, It's not where you've been that moves God as much as what, come on somebody, you're going into. Amen. The devil's not after what you've been and where you've been. He's after where you're going. Amen. It's potential that moves parents to be godly parents. It's that that causes us to preach. Pastor Kenny's got, his church got this wonderful facility. Why? They saw the potential in the property and now it's here. But potential in itself is what we shout over, get excited over, run over. Speak, come on somebody. When youth conference is here, how many of you go, dear God of heaven, I'm going back to my youth group. We're going to get an outreach program. We're going to reach the lost. We're never, I'm telling you, and your youth group gets excited over where they can go. We get excited over what we can do. But we never walk in potential. The Lord began to deal with me that the devil has played the game with the church and gave them the excitement of their potential. But it never is good or it's worth anything until you begin to walk in it. You're going to help me, aren't you? Amen. And as we begin to look at this, potential is one of the greatest words in your life. It's where it's the power to become something. It's what God's given you, the possibility of being somebody in the kingdom. To be a missionary. I preached in a meeting in youth camp in Ohio. Here while back, had a missionary walked up to me. He said, Pastor Greg, do you remember me? I said, no, son, I don't. He said, I was among that 500 at youth camp you preached on outreach, and I put mission. Some of you from Borch Lake, you older kids, remember. I put them pictures across that front of the lost world and preached about reaching the lost. He said, that night, God called me to the mission field. Amen. You see, it was the power of potential. Every young person, how many heard this statement? There's great men of God sitting among us this morning. The next great pastors are sitting among us. The next great singer. What they're talking about is your potential to become something. Now, how many's ever heard Brother Clendenin preach? Anybody ever heard Brother Clendenin preach? As you begin to listen to Brother Clendenin, and if you like me or Brother Kenny, listen to Brother Kenny. Amen. They're preaching one of them soul-stirring messages. You're my God of heaven. I'm going to fast for the next 3 or 4 days. I'm not going to eat a bite till God touches me. Amen. I'm going to seek the face of God. And you get so fired up while they're preaching that before you can get to the house, you done stopped by McDonald's before you know it. Done got your Big Mac and done eaten. You see, you get excited in the service because of the potential that you see that God can do in your life. It's like having a beautiful car that's got, you boys could show me out in the parking lot. You can say, listen to the motor. Listen how loud it sounds and rev it up. Look how pretty the wheels are. Look how good the radio sounds. But if that car doesn't have a transmission in it, all it is a beautiful car with a loud sounding motor and a beautiful radio. But if you can't get that car out of park in the drive, it's not worth anything. So in our meetings, a lot of times, we get excited over where we've been. Come on, somebody. Amen. The Holy Ghost is moving. Listen to our motor. But we never get it in the drive. But how many of you young people say, this meeting, this weekend, Holy Ghost, I want you to get me out of neutral in my life and put me in the drive. Now I want to begin to talk to you just a moment about potential. Potential's wonderful, but it don't get you there. You got to walk in it. You got to begin to step out into it. Potential is the word that God uses to even name himself. Everybody say, I'm nigh. Boy, you're quiet. I'm nigh. I'm nigh means all. Amen. All. So means power. It means force. It means ability. So when you say omnipotent, it says omnipotent. Amen. Which means you're all power, all strength, all ability. So God calls himself omnipotent. Amen. All power. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to help us just a little while. The moment you do something, it ceases to be your potential. So while we sit back and brag about where we've been, it doesn't enthuse God. That's why these churches that want to brag about revivals that happened 5 years ago, God is bored with your past accomplishments. He wants to know what is going on in your life right now. I one time was you, it doesn't move God. It's what's still in you that's left inside of you that God is at this meeting has to. It doesn't matter where you've been bad or where you've been good. Up to this point, it's over and God's ready with what's left on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about anything good in this flesh. I'm talking about his power to do a work in your life that he's placed in you. So omnipotent, God possesses himself. It means all power. So when we look at the galaxies, anybody ever go outside, amen, at night, or you may not like it, but I used to lay on my trampoline, look at the stars. Do you know there's 500 million galaxies out there? Do you know the sun that lights our planet Earth is just one out of the millions of suns that are out there? Come on, somebody. This is just one sun out of the 500 million galaxies that are out there and all the multi-millions of Milky Ways out there. Come on, somebody, that we don't even found yet. And all of this come out of God. Hallelujah. I said all of it came out of God. The Bible says before anything was, God is. Can I brag on my God a little bit? Amen. Everything that is, was in God. Amen. So before anything was, God was everything before it became something. I'm not over your head, am I? Well, let me put it this way. There was a time when there was nothing but God. Amen. And before anything was, all things were made by him. And before that, all that is something was in him. Can you say amen? So watch this. If you could have met God before there was nothing, standing on the corner of nowhere, and could have walked up and shook hands with him, you'd have been shaking hands with everything that is. Am I over your head? Amen. I said if you could have walked up to God before there was nothing on the corner of nowhere, amen, when there was nothing, shook hands with him, you'd have been shaking hands with everything there is because it was in God. Omnipotent. All potential. Well, guess what? That means God was full of potential. He released some of it and we call it the universe. And he turned around and said, I'm still omnipotent. In other words, you've not seen nothing yet to what I can do in your life. Boy, it's tight last night, Brother Scott said. It's tight today. But I feel the Holy Ghost going to help us. I feel a hopelessness. Come on, somebody. And some lies that says, dear God, not only we as young Americans are in trouble in the church, but we're in trouble, in the nation, in trouble in America. I had a young man, you won't be surprised how many are calling me. Pat, Brother Greg, is there a future for us? Is there a hope for us? Honey, I don't care years ago, we didn't have to deal with this. If you preached on it, them older folks wouldn't let you. Come on, somebody. It's too plain. But the reason why we're faced with so much junk today is because God's got to clean this up before this can ever become what it ought to be. But I come to tell you, God, come on somebody, it's not over. I said it ain't over. The nation is in a turmoil. God's eyes is on Israel, and the rest of the world is headed on a downward spiral to the judgment. But honey, God says arise, lift up your hand, your redemption draw nigh. It's the grandest hour. It's the foundation of God's nature. It's who He is. Come on, somebody. Everything that God creates, He creates, amen, the human like Himself in His image. Are you still with me this morning? So God creates us as humans with potential. Come on, somebody. Now, some of you ain't listening to me, but it's that potential that drives a father when his child does opposite of what he wants him to do. Because he don't see where he is, he sees where he can be. It's that potential that drives us to believe in our children. It's that God looks in us and says, I'm not giving up on him, because if I can ever get him in that altar, get my hand to pull to his life or her life, there's no telling, come on somebody, what God's going to do. So God creates everything with a seed in itself. Genesis chapter 1 verse 12. And he put the seed in itself. Come on, somebody. So that's the reason why God doesn't have to create any more humans. He created Adam, and he never had to make another human. When it come time to get Eve, he pulled out of Eve and made Adam. Everything that God needed, he placed inside of a thing. The trees. He never created another tree. He put the seed in the tree. Come on, you're going to help me, aren't you? So therefore, he don't have to create any more animals. He put the seed inside of the animal. He's not reproducing us by creating us with his own hands anymore. He set the world in order, and he put the seed inside of it. So that means inside of everything, there's a seed. Come on, somebody. This ain't charismatic preaching either. I don't care what you say. This ain't come off the computer either. Thank you, ma'am. Amen. The seed of everything is in itself. So therefore, if I take this apple seed that I have up here, you're going to help me, aren't you? I take this apple seed and I ask you, what's in my hand? Everybody answer. Say it loud. Apple seed. Now, what's in my hand? Apple seed. Is that true? See, fact is what something is in its present condition. It's where you are now. That's the fact. The fact is, I got an apple seed in my hand. I'd rather preach Saturday morning, I think, than any other service. Because it's the real you and it's just us and we're serious today. I get to deal with real stuff. I love that. Apple seed. So the fact is, it's an apple seed because that's the present condition, right? But the truth really ain't that it's an apple seed, is it? I heard this the other day and I had to place this in this message because it's a powerful. Amen. The apple seed, the fact is, it's an apple seed. But the truth is, this seed produces tree. You can shout amen. So really, I'm holding an apple seed, which is a tree. Amen. Does anybody want to shout with my brother here? Say amen with him. That's right. Amen. So I really have a seed that is a tree, but really that's not true either. Because a tree produces what? Fruit. So really I have a seed that has a tree that has fruit. So is that the fact of what I got in my hand? No. Because the truth is, fruits produce what? Seeds. So really in my hand I have a seed that's a tree that has fruit that has seeds. Is that all I got? The fact is, I got an apple seed, but the truth is, I got a seed that has a tree, that is a fruit, that has seeds, and seeds do what? Produce what? More trees. So really, in my hand, I hold a seed that is a tree, that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that produces trees, that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that produces trees, that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that produces trees. Oh, y'all ain't helping me the way you ought to be. That produces seeds, that produces trees, that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that produces trees, that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that produces trees, that produces fruit. So in my hand, I don't hold just a seed. I hold the whole orchid. Come on, the whole forest. God help me preach this morning. So you're sitting here. The fact is, you're 13. The fact is, you're 16. And you're struggling. But the truth is, there's a seed that is greater than what you are, and the enemy's slighting you because he's scared of your seed. The devil ain't after you, honey. He's after what you're carrying. The devil's not after you. He's after what's in you. It's what's in him that spirit wants. He wants to destroy it. Oh, lift your hands and give God glory. So in everything, God hides the seed. So in every cow, God has hid a herd. In every fish, God has hid a school. In every bird, God has trapped a flock. In every boy and every girl, God has hid a family, a city, a nation. Come on, somebody. It ain't over. In every generation, God hides a seed of revival. God reveals himself to every generation anew and afresh. I am the God of Abraham, but I didn't leave there. I left the seed. So I am the God of Isaac, but I wasn't through there. I left the seed, and I am the God of Jacob, but I didn't leave there. I left the seed, and I'm the God of Joseph, but I didn't leave there. I left the seed 400 years old, but I put him in an ark, put him down the river, put him in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. Come on, somebody. I left the seed. I'm the God of Moses. I left the seed. I'm the God of David. I left the seed. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this Saturday morning. There is a seed. In your greatest failure, God has hid a seed of your greatest success. In that ugliest part of your life that you can't get over, you want to stay away from, but God's going to draw you there this morning and let you dig it up. Because in the ugliest part of your life, God hid your greatest victory and your greatest power and your greatest anointing. Somebody shout, he's after my seed. I think about half of you, can I get 100%? He's after my seed. But he really ain't after my seed. He's after my tree that has fruit, that has seeds, that has trees, that has fruit. Hey, shout, he's after my forest. Why does the devil attack you in your youth? Why is it harder as a kid than it is a grown up? Why is it harder and the enemy fights you as a child? Because if he can stomp your seed, he's destroyed the forest. Am I boring you this morning? This baby here, 10 years old, pulled from home to home to finally his grandmother got custody. Then 10 years old, he's been through all of that. Fighting, courts. Then his mama died this last January, tragically, at 20-something years old. He's been to hell and back almost. But the fact is, hell would love to destroy the seed. Why do I struggle so hard, Pastor? It's not you. But it's the fact the devil knows if you ever get in the right environment and you ever get in the right hands and let God have your life, there's no telling what God is going to do. Scott, Brother Scott said, he said over there in that building, hell was after the seed. Because if he could have got the seed, you wouldn't have heard the forest preach last night. Hallelujah. You from, amen, Brother Scott's church wouldn't have the man of God you have. If hell could have destroyed the seed, it would have destroyed the tree that had seed, that had fruit. Come on, somebody. It ain't, come on, this modern people across the world's got it wrong when they talk about us. It ain't us. But as God said in the Word, Jesus said, I have given to man, amen, my talent, my good, to everyone according to his several ability. Come on, and some of you's went and hit it. Some of you's hit it. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you today, if you ever lay it on this altar and let God to have it, the potential. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and say, but it's too late, devil. Here comes the forest. Here comes what God has in my life. Why do I struggle? Why is this such a pull? And why is it such a pull in this generation? Because there's a seed of the harvest reaching last day outreach of the church. Let me see God on my side. Hallelujah. There's a world that needs this generation. You listen to Pastor just a second. It's that seed. Now, if you take that seed and you set it on a shelf in your bathroom, what happens to that seed? What does it do? It does nothing. Because it within itself don't have the power. You have to put it in the right environment. You gotta plant it. You gotta fertilize it. You gotta water it. Come on, somebody. But if you set it on a shelf, it does nothing. So it lives the seed and dies the seed. And some of you, come on, somebody, has had it. Oh, come on, somebody. But it's sitting on the shelf, your life is. But we bring you to these conferences because we're hoping this is the weekend that the atmosphere gets just right. And something happens in that seat. that causes to begin to sprout. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. You take that seed and you put it in a cup of alcohol. What happens to the seed? It destroys the seed. If you put it in a baggie with bacteria, sandwich bag with bacteria, what's that bacteria going to do? It's going to eat away at the seed. That's why we preach to you. You can't hang with the wrong crowd. That's why you can't date somebody that's headed south while you headed north. They're bacteria and they'll eat away at your seed. That's why Brother Scott has to get plain and say, if you're in the car and he pulls in a dark alley, put that upside his face. Come on, somebody. We live in a different day too, Brother Scott. Let's go a little deeper. If she's begging you to go down a dark alley, don't you put your hand upside her face or I'll come get you myself. Drive her to the house. Open the door. It may be tough. Come on, somebody. But it ain't your manhood. Come on, somebody, just to go fight along with it. Your real manhood is to say no. Take her to the house and never pick her up again. Come on, somebody. You're quiet now. Brother Scott said, or call me and I'll show up. I turned and looked at somebody. Woo, going to get quiet now. Amen. Brother Lance said back there, he said, I know how you are. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You're looking at me for my first youth conference I had. Amen. We had at our church. I walked down on Sunday night out of church and some girls from another youth department had one of my boys hugged up outside. Come on, somebody. I walked down on the front porch. I said, honey, take your hands off of him. You may do that at your church, but you're not going to do it here, especially in the front yard of my church. Come on, you're getting quiet on me now. You say, Brother Greg, what are you talking? I've seen too many ministries destroyed because they dated the wrong people that drug them down and they never become the forest God intended them to be. I've got the call at 1 o'clock in the morning where one of mine was. She wasn't from my church. She's just staying there for a while with one of my girls. So I went down to the house where they were going to be going when she'd come time to go home. So I'm standing there in the yard at 1 o'clock in the morning. When they drive up, come on somebody, it ain't always the guy. Boy, I'm playing today. She destroyed her forest. You must set that in my God did save you to sit on a pew. God did save you to look pretty. Be holiness. Shout on Sunday. Speak in tongues on Wednesday. God saved you to use you. He saved you to do a work in your life. God wants to draw out of you what he placed in you. Since you were a child, he placed it in your life. As the preacher visited Egypt, I'm closing in just a few second minutes. Visited Egypt, visited King Tut's tomb. Or where they call, have King Tut's body. In that tomb, there's chariots. They visited and walked around. And they have a glass casing that's got some artifacts in it. In the middle of all these artifacts is a pile of seed. 4,000 years old, but have been preserved by the desert. The preacher asked the overseer, or the director, what's these seeds? He said, we found them in the tomb. Come on, somebody. 4,000 years old. He said, are they still alive? He said, just like everything else been preserved, them seeds have been preserved by the tightness of the atmosphere of the desert. He said, matter of fact, we took some of the seed, sent it to Israel. They crossbred it, and it produced the greatest crop of corn that we've ever seen in our lifetime. That don't excite you? 4,000-year-old seed, and it germinated. Come on, it broke out. It got put in the right atmosphere, and it blossomed like a rose. I don't care how long you've been messed up. I don't care how long this is going on in your life. I don't care how long this is happening in your life. God, come on, somebody, has come this morning. You're in a room of fertilizer. You're in a room of miracle growth. And God wants to germinate your seed. He wants to grow. Somebody give him praise. I come to tell you, young man, it ain't over. I come to tell you, young lady, it ain't over. Somebody's coming to play for me this morning. It don't matter how long you've been involved to sit on the edge. The potential, the seed, still there. You say, Brother Greg, where's the cemetery? Well, you got a grave. I want to ask you this morning in closing, what is the wealthiest place on the face of the earth? I come here this morning to talk to you young people. That's why God don't throw Moses away. You looked at him, you saw a murderer. But when God looked at him, he saw the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Come on, somebody. That's the reason why when you looked at Rahab, you saw a harlot. But God saw the lineage of the Son of God. When you saw a stinky, smelly, sweat bead rolling down his face, boy, you saw a little shepherd boy whose daddy didn't even think enough of him to bring him to the house. But God saw the next king, because God sees the forest. I wish I could preach. Timmy, play soft. I'm closing. Part of it had this part, but not this part. He began to talk to us about them coming to church, rejoicing. The problem with our youth departments is not in here. Can you shout amen? You're going to help me this morning, aren't you? It's not in here is where our problem is, but our problem is when it's all over. Amen. Youth group, we can praise the Lord. Amen. We can worship. We can sing. We can rejoice. Now, I want you to listen to Pastor just a minute. Amen. We put on our best clothes, our best behavior, our best smile when we come to the house of God, when we come to conference. Amen. But the real us that's struggling with things, we leave behind. When church ought to be a place where we can be the real us. And if anybody could cry, it ought to be able to cry, it ought to be in this house this morning. If any of you can deal with the real issues in your life, it ought to be in here. Come on, somebody. I woke up last Saturday morning, 8:30, amen, and the kids were still asleep, and me and my wife was laying there talking, and the Lord got to dealing with me, and as I woke up and I began to think, do you know in our motels, most of us stayed in motels last night, you got up this morning to take a shower, you grabbed that bathroom rag, amen, and you took a shower with it and bathed with it, then you took a towel and dried off with it, you not one time questioned where that rag had been. Can you shout amen? You not one time questioned where that towel had been. Said to my wife last Saturday morning, I said, we go to get a bath. We grab a rag off of that shelf. Amen. Not even thinking twice that it was the same rag that you used yesterday to clean up the baby or something that effect. She said, what are you trying to get at? Amen. I said, you never think twice. You don't know why? It's been washed. It's been purified by the hot water. Not one time do you think where it's been. But if you knew where that rag had been, you'd overlook that rag and go to the next rag. And the reason why we can't be real, come on somebody, is because we know, come on, if somebody knew where I was and knew what I was struggling with, they'd overlook me from now on out. But the Bible says, such were some of you, but ye been washed, ye been sanctified, ye been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. But we can't. We keep everything inside. Just recently, I've been going through something in my own church. Amen. And there was something that happened, amen, that caused us to have to deal with a certain issue, amen, that you wouldn't want to deal with. But it's brought me to this fact. We live in a real world, and we try to get people to come to church. Come on, somebody. Amen. And act like everything's all right when it ain't all right. And so today, I don't want to preach to this. I want to dismiss this service. Come on, somebody. And I want them to go home. Are you listening to me? Go back to you. Amen. But I'm going to show you just a moment. Go ahead, Heath and John. Amen. I want to show you something I want to preach to today. Amen. As Heath goes home. Amen. The youth group goes to their houses. Pastor goes to his house. Youth department goes to their house. Come on, somebody. Then all of a sudden, Heath comes into his bedroom. Come on, somebody. Amen. As Heath walks in, amen, to his bedroom, amen, comes into his own house, amen, comes to where he is, amen, to where this is where, amen, the real you is, amen. This is the one that I want to talk to this morning. Not the one that you try to be, but the one that goes home and climbs under your cover, amen, that shuts your door, amen, and begins to go to sleep. The one that you wrestle with. Brother Scott got real plain last night, he thought, amen, but he didn't get, we really don't get plain enough. He said, and after mom and daddy goes to bed, you get back up, amen, and you get on the computer. Come on, somebody. Amen. Or whatever that is you do. Now, here's one thing, but this is another thing. Now, stay with me. I'm going to get to my message in just a second. But then all of a sudden in your young life, you begin to hear something knocking on your heart's door. You begin to hear something knock. So Heath gets up. The youth department ain't here. The youth director ain't here. Amen. It's just him. So he opens that door to see what it is knocking. And he talks for just a few minutes as this thing begins to whisper to his mind, whisper to his heart. He shuts the door and says, no. And he runs back to his bed. Come on, somebody. Back to youth group he goes. But then here he comes again. A few days later, it begins to knock again. Amen. And Heath gets back up out of the bed, says, oh no, there it is again. And he begins to go down and open up his heart's door and begins to listen to that that's speaking to him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost going to help us this morning. This time he stays a little longer in the conversation, but then he shuts that door. Amen. Now, then he walks back up and goes back to bed. Now this thing begins to bother his mind. Come on, somebody. But he gets up again. Here's that thing knocking again. Whatever it is that's fighting your life, this is where we're at. He goes back. He's fearful at first. He's scared at first. But he goes down and he opens up that door, this time wide open. He begins to conversate with it. Then all of a sudden, amen, he comes to lay back down. But what he don't understand is he's opened a door. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? And there's some of you that no matter where it was your innocence, come on somebody, don't get too quiet on me, that was offended, or your innocence, message that was, amen, messed with, somewhere you opened the door in your young life. And what you are struggling with in your teenage years is the door that you lay down. And while you're sleeping, it begins to bother your mind. It begins to pull on you. It begins to tug on you. Sit right there. And as you sleep, it whispers in your ear. Am I preaching this morning? It whispers in your ear. Amen. Amen. Then all of a sudden you get up and you realize, no, I don't want this. And you run it out of your life. Come on, somebody. You get it up, throw it out. Amen. You throw it out of your life. But what you don't understand, come on, somebody, come lay back down, is that you've opened that door. And when you come to conference, you run it out of your life. When you get in a good revival, you run it out of your life. But when you get back home, you still got that door open. You got to shut that door. I just had one of my mean young men backslide, been with me 7 years, shout the victory, feel the power of God, but he never shut the door on his childhood. And the deeper this thing gets, it comes in, and it no longer sits on the chair. The next thing you know, you begin to come. Come on, somebody, don't you get quiet with me. You go into a deeper relationship with it. Come on, somebody. And you get more intimate with it. Come on, somebody. And you begin to entertain that thing. And you begin to romance after. Come on. It's no longer a struggle you have. It's now something you've accepted. Not only into your bedroom of your heart, but into the bed of your life. Hallelujah. You be dismissed. John, please stay with me. Amen. I want to preach this morning, the Lord to help me. I'll get back to this toward the end. Now, Heath has awesome potential. He's in the youth department, raised in the house.